Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan. I tell you, this EFM, the Emergency Financial Manager, is having a field day with the people here in the city of Benton Harbor. Whirlpool have got him by his nose. He's giving away land, taking things. He had decided that he's going to eliminate, even though the commissioner has no power at all, he's going to eliminate the first, second, third, and fourth ward commissioner. Matter of fact, he's putting it on the ballot. And deep down in Benton Harbor now, we have about 8% of the people living in Benton Harbor are Caucasians. I tell you, we are in a fight for our life. But I tell you, we're up for it. We're ready to go to battle if we have to. Because remember this, here in the city of Benton Harbor, there are still burning crosses and hanging nooses inside factories, outside factories, around people's homes. They're doing it all. But I'm going to tell you about this young man, Troy Davis. We need you to act now to stop the execution of Troy Davis. Executions is set for Wednesday, September the 21st. Troy Davis need our help. We need to start calling. We need to start stepping up to the plate. He's about to be executed on September the 21st. If there's no struggle, there's no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom yet depreciate agitation want crops without plowing up the ground. They want rain without thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did and it never will. At this time, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. So let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I'm here to tell you I received this email in reference to a video. And let me read to you exactly what it says. It says, there is much speculation on the video game called Slavery, the game that is supposedly expected to be released in the near future. In the game, the player objective is to be the best slave owner he can be. Now, this is a game for the children. It's called Slavery, the game that is supposedly expected to be released in the near future. In the game, the player objective is to be the best slave owner he can be. Even having the player choose from an assortment of weapons to beat or maim the so-called African slave subject. Nevertheless, to say this video or even the idea of it could be true or a hoax goes beyond mere insensitivity. For a concept such as this to reach such an elevated platform of entertainment and the lack of response from PlayStation, Xbox, 360, or Nintendo, neither confirmed nor denied their involvement with such racial disparagement to the point of Mark's murder, inhumane treatment of the so-called African Day descendants. Further, the urgency for attention to this matter, such association, even in jest, should provoke some response and effort to save face. The lack of action or response lead us to question not only each corporate entitled value of the so-called African and their descendants as humans, but the value of their dollar. It appears that these vendors are no possible adverse reaction that stands to jeopardize their sale or encourage legal action by this distasteful, highly offensive material. Another question that begs to be answered is, are the so-called Africans and their descendants deemed valuable as human beings as opposed to three-fifths of a human being? To garnish the outpouring of emotion, empathy that would encourage repair, restoration by the way of judicial social assistance, or at a minimum, real action that will mitigate the damage that has already been done. If and whenever any media is relieved, marking or even questioning the extermination of the German Jewish people in the infamous pre-war, questioning the extermination, yes, of World War II Holocaust. There is an outcry of social awareness and accountability, not just of those who committed the atrocity, but of the whole world. As for the occurrence of the Holocaust, often titled Transatlantic Slave Trade, it is all facts that all the major merchants of the earth took part and reaped bountifully long-lasting monetary and industrial benefit directly and indirectly from the African chattel slave trade of the so-called African people. To this very day, no form of reparation has been performed or supported, not to mention any attempt to repair ourselves individually or collectively from centuries of physical and psychological abuse are thawed with the system's sophisticated covert racism. Even in the occasional exposition of the sublime racism, a judicial bias, the consequences are minimum to nip. Sending a hateful message to all the people of color, particularly dark colored, they are not worthy of equal social position and basic human rights. Withstanding this and many other injustices, I refuse to idly sit quietly, allowing further mockery to persist. We are prepared to take you to another stand to acknowledge and solidify our values and humanity in the world. If this gang is released, we will seek legal action to prohibit the marketing, distribution, and the sale of this gang. We will also seek damages following a class action lawsuit to develop and all gang system parties involved. We are also organizing to encourage those in the black community, all other supporters of civil rights, to withdraw their financial support of any business who market, distribute, or sell this gang. Any threat of justice to one person stands to threaten the justice of all people. So I'm here to tell you, if you see a video out there called Slavery, do not buy it. Matter of fact, we're working right now to do something about it. But let me bring on my guest, Nick Jones. He has written a play that he's going to produce and allow to be a movie. Nick Jones, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, great. Listen, why don't you tell my listening audience a little bit about yourself and tell us exactly where you're at and what you're doing.
All right. I moved back to my hometown, South Bend, Indiana, approximately 22 years ago. And I've been working on building my business. My company is called WTJ Films, and we specialize in Western projects about black American men who helped build the American West. That's important because the development of the American West led to the Industrial Revolution, and it led to the things that we enjoy today, from the automobile to the airplane to the internet to cell phones, etc. The problem is that these men were real, that when I produce a movie, I have the documentation, but you won't find them in the history book. The problem with that is that if you open any U.S. history book, you may find Bass Reeves. That was my first movie, which was produced about 12 years ago, and it's aired in select markets. Bass Reeves was an ex-slave who became the first black U.S. deputy marshal in America. He was hired in 1876 by Judge Isaac Parker, a.k.a. the Hanging Judge. However, if you watch a Hollywood movie, the original True Grit with John Wayne or the remake with Jeff Bridges, you don't see any black lawmen. That should be obvious, but there were black and Indian lawmen in the American West.
Wow, that's tremendous. So what you're telling me that there was black cowboys back in those days?
Yeah, probably if you had five, probably two and a half, if you could divide it that way, would have been black. But that's not, and to further your point, when you were talking about this Xbox and slavery, the thing that's missing is when those who are in a position of power to do something about slavery, they do something, you'll have Gone with the Wind. But there's no such thing as a kind master, because if he was kind, he wouldn't be a master. You know, he wouldn't be a slave owner. That, so that answers that.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes a moot point. The second Western we did was the first Western that was done in South Bend, Indiana. It was also the first Western that was done at the University of Notre Dame called The Exodusters, based on a real person, Walter Jackson, who was the first black cowboy in Great Falls, Montana. The project.
So wait, let me get this straight. You saying that he was the very first black cowboy?
Yeah. As far
in Montana?
As far as the records indicate, he was the first black cowboy in Great Falls, Montana.
Wow. Well, tell us more about it.
The project that we're working on now is called A Spy Not Like Us, and it's the saga of John Scoble, who was an ex-slave who went on to become the first black U.S. Secret Service agent, and he was hired in 1861 by Union Major Allen Pinkerton. And I'd never heard of him until I did the research.
Oh, that's beautiful. Wow. So how long do you think that this movie going to take you to actually get it together and to put it out there? And we plan to help you. That's the good part.
Okay. And you know, Scoble was a magnificent man, because what he did was to help thwart what could have been an attack on Washington, D.C., and the capture of Abraham Lincoln. But as I said before, very, very, very few people know of John Scoble. There's very little information on him in on the Internet, and there's no known picture of John Scoble. And after he did what he did, no one knows what happened to him. Now, you know, my point has always been these men paved the way for us today, whether we understand that or not, because if they hadn't done what they did, there never could have been a Martin Luther King.
Okay.
It's a step-by-step process. So if you go into a school during Black History Month, they'll talk about slavery, and then they jump right to the Civil Rights Movement. Well, what about all those steps in between? And I think that's the thing that's missing. I think that that's part of my task to fill in some of those missing blank spaces. And, you know, I'm not the end-all, be-all on black American men in the American West. I do know some things, and things that I don't know, I do the research on, and I'm humble enough to call somebody and say, hey, I found this about Joe Smith. Can you direct me to find more information? And really, I've been blessed to work with some great black men in learning how to do research. One of them was Dr. Nnuti E. Williams, who was the chairman at that time of the African American Studies at the University of Arkansas, Fayetteville. So, you know, to say that one person has all the knowledge would be incorrect. I think it's a collectivity. I think it takes a group effort. I'd like to make a call for the young man you said is scheduled to be executed September 21st.
Troy Davis.
Yeah. One of the things that I point out in my Western projects, and people will say, well, they don't do Westerns anymore. Well, yes, they do. They just do Westerns that don't have nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Absolutely.
The key to the American West is directly related to the U.S. judicial system.
Mm-hmm.
A black man walks into court, he's guilty until proven innocent. A white
That's
man
right.
walks into court, he is innocent until proven guilty.
Absolutely.
That's just based on the negative and incorrect imagery you have out there about black American men. And how is this produced and formulated? Television, movies, radio. I think part of the problems with people and President Obama is the fact that he has a black face, and black men are not supposed to be intelligent enough to run a country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, so that must mean Jesus is coming like tomorrow, because, you know, how could this happen in America?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing is, if that's your attitude, then you're a very ignorant person. And
absolutely,
there are a lot of ignorant people out here, you know.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, when you have people who've been elected to public office who place race above common sense and reason, then these are very dangerous people. And you know, you should really be conscious of where they are and what they're trying to do, because some of the people who have run for president, are running for president, have had serious racial gaffes in using terms which are associated with negative images of black American men.
Absolutely.
I talk
hey,
about
Jones,
black, yeah.
Now, I don't mean this rough. Let me we got about a minute or two, but here's what I wanted to ask you about.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of this video game called Slavery?
No, I hadn't heard of it until you
Well, I think you can go on the internet and get some information. I received this. And the reason why what you're doing now is so incredible, see, you're bringing out, you're telling folks that there was black cowboys. And I am committed to trying to help you bring forward. But let me bring on my other guest. Why don't you take 1 minute and tell people a little bit more about yourself, so then I can bring on my other guests. I got to bring in Ralph Pointer, and so maybe he has some questions for you, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. But
All right. Tell me when you're ready to bring the gentleman on, and I'll sit here and answer any questions that he might have.
Very good. I'll bring him on now.
Okay.
Ralph Pointer, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinky, and you can hear the noise. What the noise is the cars go by. I'm a couple blocks from the World Trade Center. And
okay.
I'm looking at the images and the attitudes of people here about those fallen heroes around the World Trade Center. And I'm listening to your guest talk about the history of black people in America, particularly black people in the West. There's a group of white-hatted firemen and police officers passing me now. And I noticed that he had mentioned the issue of Troy Davis and how that could have happened. How can that happen in America today? And when I look at the history of America, I say, how can it not happen looking at the history of racist America? I look at what they had intended years ago, 1619, when they brought the first slave here, and what they are doing today. It is very persistent and very consistent with the American attitude. And I'd like to just point out one thing. We have all of these people talking about innocent people died at the World Trade Center. And I have to think, not far from here, I'm in New York City, not far from here in Queens, about maybe 3 miles from the World Trade Center, they had a watch company called Bulova Watch. And in this company, they made the timing devices that would cause explosions to go off 20 feet from the ground, and what was in these missiles were razor-sharp blades that would scatter throughout the public and injure innocent Vietnamese women and children, and that would tie up the doctors and the medical profession getting these things out of people's bodies, and it was the intention of the U.S. government to destroy these people. And I still see Kissinger on the radio and hear him on the radio and see him on the television talking about the criminal idea of the domino theory. It was a total lie. It has totally been discredited. What Vietnamese people wanted was their freedom, and these people worked against it. They destroyed the people. Then when that didn't work, they decided to destroy the land with Agent Orange. They defiled the very earth. And I remember while they were doing it, Lyndon B. Johnson, stood before the joint houses of Congress and said, if they don't come to the table, meaning if they don't give up and come to the table in Paris, they will bomb them into the Stone Age. He meant it, and all but about four or five people stood and cheered. This is the America that I see, and this is what brings Obama to the fore. This is why I call him the articulate, effete hypocrite, because there are people who lie for the government, and I submit to you that everything Obama says is a lie. I don't even listen, because what he says Monday, he will change Tuesday. It is well documented. Glenn Ford, the Black Agenda Report, documents what he says. But the important thing about this whole issue is it brings up the dichotomy of black people in America, those who want to join it and those who want to change it. And I say I am ashamed of some of the history of the black people in the West. We celebrate the Buffalo Soldier, and the only excuse, you know, because when they fought the Indians, their hair was woolly, and they got the name, like the Indians called them Buffalo Soldiers, because they look like, their hair looked like the hair of a buffalo. But I'm ashamed of that, and the only way I could explain it is they just came from slavery. They didn't know better. But it's difficult for me to explain black people in America today who have the benefit of history and television and the whole nine yards, and they still want to serve this government.
Wow. Hey, Ravner, you
still
just said a mouthful.
To serve this government. So,
hey,
Ravner,
let me ask you a question before I get into our guest, some of the things that he was talking about. There's a video game going around that Nintendo and Xbox 360, according to this guy, he came to my home yesterday with some information in reference to this. It's a game called Slavery. It says a game that is supposedly expected to be released in the near future. In the game, the player objective is to be the best slave owner he can be, even having the player choose from assortment of weapons to beat or maim the so-called African slave subject. Nevertheless, to say this video or even idea, even if it's true, even if it's a hoax, goes beyond mere insensitivity. So, you know, give me some thoughts on that, and then I want my guest to weigh in on that also. Go ahead, Ralph.
Yes, well, I can't tell you exactly about this game because I never watched it, but what I will tell you is there are many games that have the same purpose. That's to degrade certain people. And that is to get disinformation, to tell the lie. Other people around the world, particularly Arabs, because they have oil, and they want to build the platform to invade Saudi Arabia, Iran, etc., because that is the center of profits, of the profit-making oil industry. And they have done that with people throughout the history of America, the most lied upon people in the world. And I will conclude with this. If you want to see what foolishness they can have American people believe, and anybody of age will remember when we went to school, they said black men couldn't play college football because there was a weakness in their lower bodies. And I'm saying now, anybody would have to say, wait a minute. Since 1619, we weren't the people sitting on the veranda drinking mint juleps. We were the people in the field working, building this America, building the wealth of America. And how could they tell that lie? Well, they kept that lie going for many years. I think it was 1948 when Jackie Robinson,
Ralph, they still got the saying that, you know, that a black man can't play quarterback.
There you go.
And he don't have the intelligence to be a good quarterback or a great quarterback.
So when you say history, you know, it tells a lie to some people, and to other people, they believe the nonsense, and this is the dichotomy. Ever since I was old enough to understand what happened, this is around 12 or 13 years old, I did not want to become a part of the empire. I wanted to be a part of the force that would change this empire into something civilized. Because history must tell us that they decivilized Africa. It was a civil place until the Europeans got there. And then if you understood European history, you knew what they were going to do. So this is what I say about history. It teaches us what the intent of this so-called slavocracy is, and the intent of the slavocracy is to make us dead. We have to recognize
that. That's beautiful. And let me bring my guest back on, then we're going to bring on, we're going to bring Mary on. Go right ahead, Nick.
I listened to the comments and Ralph, and I think one thing that I would look at is the concept of manifest destiny. Whereas, you know, America has the God-given right to expand and bring Christianity to the dark world. And if you look very closely at all the wars that have been fought since World War II, and I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I'm proud to have served. However, I understand that the domino effect was just, you know, it was as bogus as the weapons of mass destruction. But, you know, I'm an 18-year-old kid at the time, and I'm fresh out of high school. But that didn't mean that I was stupid. It just meant that I was 18 and fresh out of high school. Now, back to my original comment about manifest destiny. Every conflict that we've had since World War II, when we defeated the Germans, have been against people of color.
Yeah.
The Korean War, the Vietnam War.
We lost that one.
All of these wars have been against people who have pigmentation in their skin.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that interesting that in the year 2011, we are still using the concept manifest destiny, which presumably we dropped, a couple hundred years ago. But I'd like to hear Ralph's comment on that.
Yes, I love the idea of your book and what you've done, but what we must be very clear on, we use terms of manifest destiny, and as you said, that should have been out of people's minds hundreds of years ago, but what is in people's minds is empire, and they do not want to say the word. So you get the words crusade, manifest destiny, the divine right of kings, bringing of civilization, all lies to cover up the lie of empire. And the empire is based on the color of the skin. And the reason why Fidel Castro is hated, because the Europeans carried this tradition around the world. The color of skin determines one's position in society, and from lack of melanin down to having much melanin, there's a path from the top to the bottom, and tracing of that chart, and Fidel Castro opposed that and changed that. That's why he's the boogeyman. It is not communism, because the largest communist nation in the world is China, and they're trading with the Americans, and the Americans are happy, and they hold more treasury bonds than anybody else, and if they want to dump America, they throw away their treasury bonds, and America is finished. So it's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with this empire, and we're supposed to be the servants of the empire. They will destroy us. They will destroy our culture. They have destroyed history. Why is it that we have to look at your book to find out about our history? Do not they teach history in our public schools? Do not they teach history in our private schools? No, their attempt is to make sure that we never get a clear picture of who we are and who we have been. So thank you.
Absolutely. Hey, Rap, let me say this before we bring on Mary. Tell us a little bit about Lynn Stewart right fast, and can you take about two minutes?
All right. Okay, thank you, Reverend. I appreciate your consideration so much, because Lynn Stewart is in jail, Fort Worth, Texas, and her crime is understanding what happened in America. Now, and she's a white woman, one of the greatest lawyers in America, you know, before they arrested her. She was the one who defended the blind sheikh. And before that, she defended American black freedom fighters, those who fought for our right to be free. And I'm very upset when people talk about nonviolent resistance, when people go around killing people in the city, around the rest of the world, and our heroes who stand up and fight, we're forgotten about because we believe in nonviolent resistance, a dehumanizing philosophy. Because to be human is to have the right of self-defense and self-preservation. And so when people take that away from their mind and say, oh, that's not good, then we dehumanize ourselves in our mind. And at the same time, we allow those people who fought for our rights to be put in prison and forgotten about. Lynn Stewart's a white woman, and her crime is knowing the truth about government involvement in terror acts around the country. At the bottom of every so-called terror plot, you'll find the U.S. government in league with Egypt and other places. And I'd like to point out, when Libya fell, the first thing they did was ran in and looked at the prisons and looked at the torture chambers where Egyptian government supposedly fell with Hosni Mubarak out a long time ago, and nobody's looked in the prisons there, the torture chambers in Egypt. Nobody's looked at the security forces papers to see how deeply involved the Egyptian government was in the so-called landmarks case. This was one that Lynn Stewart defended, the blind sheikh, and she knew too much. They put her in jail. But her big crime was when she said that when she defended Larry Davis's right to self-defense against the police, and he shot six policemen, and Lynn said it was in self-defense, and he had the perfect right, a black man. And she says, I, as a person who have enjoyed skin privilege, am not an innocent. I am guilty, as the rest of the white people in America are, and I'm going to put something back. And so what happened was white people are still angry about that. How dare Lynn say that she's not innocent?
She won that case too, didn't she? Yes, she did.
And all, as you can imagine, all black people in the city cheered. And the white mayor said, "There is," which was Mayor Koch, said, "There is no right of self-defense against the police." So you can see that this is the intent today. And when Mr. Obama gets up and says, well, it's 90% solved, you know, he's playing a bad, bad game. He's destroying, he's pimping the just emotions of people like yourself who write the book, who say, we are a part of America too. He's pimping those emotions for the purpose of securing superiority of a white race, of a corporation to lead the capitalism, organized crime over the people, and now they're including white people too, over the people of the world. So, yes, I'm going to read your book, and I'm going to love every minute of it. I'd like to discuss parts of it with you. I'd like to feel proud in certain things that happened, certain histories, and sad at other things that we have participated in. And I will say, I did not go to Korea. I was a draft dodger, and I didn't make statements about no Korean called me nigga. I just said, I ain't going to go. And my brother, I said, when I got my draft notice, I said, don't these people know who I am? And my brother answered, he was 3 years older. He says, they don't know. And this letter proves they don't care who you think you are. Here's your draft notice.
I got to bring on Mary.
Go ahead.
Mary, are you there?
Sorry. Thank you for that.
That's okay. You did good. Go ahead. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinckney. How are you?
I'm great. How about yourself? It's good
I'm
to hear your
God,
voice.
Reverend.
Hey,
I'm
were you listening
to
me when I was telling
Reverend
about the slavery
on your show today?
Yes. Absolutely.
Troy Davis. They issued a death warrant for Troy Davis on the 6th of September. And they, unless God intervenes through us, they will kill him on the 21st day of September. Now, this is the time that I'm asking everybody, and you know, it is time for us to not just boycott the justice on the 9th of September, but we need to boycott from now until they give Troy Davis a stay of execution or and hopefully a new trial, go ahead and set a date or just pardon the man. Now, what I'm asking everybody to do is boycott Georgia and let people know that you will not purchase products made in Georgia. You will not plan Georgia vacations. You will not have your conferences in Georgia this year. The Harris Show, that is black people from all over the nation, come here in the spring. I want you to come right now and cancel the Harris Show for Georgia. I'm asking you to not buy any more Coca-Cola. Why would you buy Coca-Cola made in a state It's home offices here where they lynch black men. Don't buy no more Coca-Cola. I'm asking you to put pressure on our businesses, our major corporations, to call Georgia's Governor Deal. If we put pressure on business, then they will call their elected officials. Because you and I both know these elected officials are not ours. They belong to corporate America. So let's put the ball in corporate America's court and tell corporate America, unless you do something to save Troy Davis, we are going to make you pay, especially you businesses in Georgia. If you plan to come here and sing, if you're an artist, a recording artist, don't just sign a petition for Troy Davis. You have more power than that. I'm asking you to call your agents and say, cancel all my engagements for Georgia. I will not sing in a state that lynches my brothers. I'm asking everybody, if you are a pastor and you have big conferences here, like the Philadelphia Tabernacle, I want you to call right now and move your conference to Carolina, move it to any place, but tell them that you are not coming to Georgia if they lynch Troy Davis. I want everybody to get on the phone and whatever plans you had to come to Georgia next year or this vacation season or in the Christmas time, don't come and call them and let them know why you are not coming back to Georgia. And we can save Troy Davis. We have 2 weeks. It's not just for us to keep signing petitions. They're not listening to our petitions. They're not listening to our rallies. They are going ahead and planning to kill this man. They care about money. M-O-N-E-Y. I'm asking pastors. I'm asking the hair show coordinators. We have the Black Family Reunion, a big affair in Georgia every spring. Why would you have it in Georgia if they're going to lynch our black men? If they're going to lynch people they know are probably innocent. Call and move that hair show someplace decent. Call Georgia and let them know if they lynch Troy Davis, you will never have another hair show here. So this is something we can do, and we have to do it financially.
That's right, and that's the only way to actually attack them is financially. And, you know, and I read earlier, if there's no struggle, there's no progress. So we have to make sure that we're out there. You know, it's time. It's time that the people took a stand. It's time that, you know, we rally behind a person like Troy Davis because they think that we're weak. You know, one thing about, you know, the black race at one time back in the 60s and 70s, we, you know, we were somebody to be dealt with. But now,
yeah,
we're so soft now. We're so ashamed. We're, you know, we just don't do the things that need to be done. And it's time that we take this thing to a whole different level. And the thing about Troy Davis, 7 of the 9 non-police witnesses have since recanted their story. Several alleged that police coerced them into trying to convict this black man. That's what they do. They pay people. I was on trial myself here. They went out and paid people to come in and lie. They paid. They said, I paid a guy $5 to vote, and they went out and paid him $10 and said, I paid him $5. And we know that's true. But the point is,
yes,
let's get out there and try to save Troy Davis. But before you say anything else, Mary, I got to have my let my guests say something here. Is there anything you want to say, regardless what it is? Say something, Mr. Jones.
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is I think that's a great idea. I think the other thing is the national office of the NAACP, how active are they in this particular incident?
Well, here's the deal. I did get an email from them.
Mary,
did get an email from Ben Jealous, and he asked me to go out and do some things to try to help save Troy Davis. He just emailed that to me the other day, and he said that they are in full support of trying to save Troy Davis. So this I know they're on the case. I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but they did email me, and they did tell me that this is we only got 2 weeks to do it, and they're willing to take this thing to a whole different level. And on that note,
they have been
go right
very
ahead,
Nick. For a long time. He went to see Troy Davis. Mr. Jones went to see Troy Davis. He came out, and he outright said that he was talking to he talked to an innocent man. So he declared his innocence, and the NAACP is behind Troy Davis 100%.
Yes, Absolutely. Absolutely.
And furthermore, sir, I want to say, before my time is up, I want to say, please look online for my article, because it tells what's happening. The name of it is Diversion Needed. Let's Kill Troy Davis. You see, the thing is, sir, that whites, blacks, Native Americans, everybody, Asians, Latinos, we're all getting too united for these people. We all are coming awake. We all are coming to realize that our enemy is not each other. Our enemy is this system of corporate government. And so we're uniting now. And what I think is happening is they would like to kill Troy Davis or do something drastic to drive a wedge between the races. And what I'm asking people to realize is that there have been plenty, thousands upon thousands of white supporters of Troy Davis from the inception. And I want people to remember that. Do not let them make a fool of you. If they kill Troy Davis, do not riot. Instead, boycott for justice. Make Georgia pay for lynching that man if they do it. And let us let them know up front that if they do it, we will make Georgia businesses pay. We will cancel our vacations there. We will cancel our engagements there. We will cancel our conferences there. I ask the stars to cancel their concerts here. We need to set an example and let these states know that if you disregard human rights, we will use consumer power, which is what you care about, money. We will make you pay.
That's it. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, I'm in full support. I think one of the things that's shocking is this is the first time I've heard of the Troy Davis situation, and I think there would probably be a lot more support if more people knew about it. And I'm not saying that, you know, people aren't out there knocking on doors, letting people know, but the more people that do know, the more powerful the push will be to preserve this man's life.
And you know, here's the thing. A lot of people, we've been fighting a long time for Troy Davis, and there have been several hearings. Matter of fact, I believe this is the second or third time that that he has been up to be executed. Yeah, it's been three times, and each time we was able to stop it. But this time, they're planning to do it. They're planning to do everything within their power. Because remember this, you only have 2 weeks to save this man. At midnight, September the 21st, he's going to die unless we do something really incredible. And I tell you, we can do this. And the thing is, we got to get the word out. Mary is great at doing this. Ralph is good at doing this. But we got to continue doing the things that we need to do. And before we go to Ralph, why don't you come in and give us your take on this?
Yes, well, you have gotten great consensus on this, and you are doing exactly what must be done. You are making the story real. You are making it available to everybody, and you have the solution. But I'm very weak here because I don't buy anything. I've been fighting with you, you know, like on your side, on our side about Whirlpool. Can't buy Whirlpool. Don't spend anything with Mary. You know, like on certain days, the 9th of every month. Well, I don't buy anything that's not food or shelter. I just won't do it. So, and I'm working on a farmer's market for people in the poor neighborhood, a Bed-Stuy in New York. So, yes, we've been fighting this, and thank you, Reverend, for leading the charge. We need more Reverend Pinckneys. Let's get you out there to bring people on to give us history, to bring people on to tell us what has happened in the true words of a preacher. Tell them what you're going to tell them, then tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So thanks,
that's
Reverend.
Right.
Thanks for allowing us to bring up the stories of Lynn Stewart and all of those who have fought to make life better for us. And thanks again, Reverend.
Wow, way to go. Mary, go ahead.
I just want to say thank you very much. My name is Mary Neal. I'm founder and director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. That's 1.25 million sick Americans and immigrants who are in prison right now for behavior that arose out of a health condition. They are there for prison profiteering. And I ask you to look online for Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. Again, you can just put in my name, Mary Neal, N-E-A-L, Troy Davis. put in my name with Troy Davis. I give you the entire background on his case. If you want to know why he's where he is, I want you to know about Georgia courts. They are racist. They don't have any respect for the law. I want you to know that he was treated like my family was in Georgia courts. When we asked for justice in Georgia courts, we were told that we were immaterial. I have a court order saying that we were immaterial. Now, what kind of court issues an order telling a black family that we're not thinking about giving you justice? Don't try to argue the court because you're immaterial people. That's the beginning. So that's what we have a court order saying. Look online for Mary Neal, Troy Davis, and find out what this young man is up against.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Hey, Nick, why don't you
tell
the audience about your book and yourself again. Go right ahead.
Well, I think, you know, basically in light of the discussion that we've had regarding Troy Davis, you know, it's just a supplement based upon the way the judicial system works.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely correct, because I tell you, I was in what I do, I go to court every morning. I go to the Barron County Courthouse and court watch, and I've been doing that for about, this is my 11th year of doing so. And one of the things that I witnessed this past week, one of the young men, he refused to plead guilty to a crime he did not commit. And this court-appointed attorney by the name of Scott Sanford told him that if he did not plead guilty, you see, it's all about like Troy Davis and all this other stuff. Even me, when I was in court myself, and the point was, what they did to this young man, they tried to intimidate him into pleading guilty to a crime he never committed. And here's the kicker: he refused to plead guilty, so his own court-appointed attorney went and told the judge that he was late getting to court, which he was not. And this judge charged him with contempt of court and arrested him, put him in jail. He had to put up $7,500, a $7,500 bond. And this is the what we call justice in Benton Harbor, Michigan. The people ill, we got to take this thing. There's a whole lot of Troy Davises, but we have to make sure that we fight this battle together. Troy Davis need us. But we need to take this thing and start protecting each other, because they don't care nothing about us. Matter of fact, what they're doing to us right now, what they're doing to us right now is criminal. But the point is, we won't say it's criminal. What they're doing to Troy Davis is criminal. But the people won't say it's criminal. What they're doing in Barron County
is criminal.
It's criminal. But the point is, nobody will come out and say what it is. We have to start calling a spade, and stop being so intimidated. The word around here is that if you go up against Barron County, they're going to come after you. Well, they're coming after you anyway. So what difference do it make? At least stand up for you. If you don't want to stand up for yourself, stand up for your children. I mean, to me, that's crucial. And this is what it's all about to me. I believe that all these years that I've been fighting this system, trying to get the people to understand that we're in a war. This is no conflict. This is a real war. And I tell you this, we got some folks down here in Barron County that actually hate you. They hate you enough to kill you. They really do. They've been doing things so bad down here. And we got Whirlpool. Whirlpool is the mastermind behind all this. Anytime they say a corporation don't control a community, they've never been in a Benton Harbor. They've never been in a Barron County. Whirlpool controls everything that goes on here in this community. That's why making a movie, writing a book, is so important. Because we have to get the word out. We have to show them what we are capable of doing. And I tell you this, Whirlpool do not intimidate me. They don't scare me. And I tell you this, anytime that we have to go chest to chest, toe to toe, I'm willing. And I'm willing to make the supreme sacrifice for the people to make sure they understand that we're moving this thing to another level. And I want to tell Troy Davis and his family, I want to tell you this.
And I want you to understand that we're with you 100%. And we're going to be working hard to try to get this, stop this execution, just like we did before. But now I got to get more information so I know exactly what I'm doing. I don't have all the information, but please, if you're out there listening, and if you have more information, send it to me. You know my email, because if you didn't, you wouldn't be listening. So send it to me. It's crucial that you understand this, because we got a job right now. We got less than 15 days to save this young man. So we have to go beyond. And Mary, we're going to need you. This is what you're good at. Ralph,
and I'm right here, sir. I'm right here in Georgia.
Yeah,
I'm right here.
I will go do whatever you want done, sir. All right, so we'll be here. And I want you to know, as far as information is concerned, that I have followed this case for the last four years.
And I've written about 15 articles about it. So all you have to do is type in Mary Neal Troy Davis, and you will have a body of information. And plus, you will have details about Georgia courts that you will not get any other source.
Very good. Very good. And here's something where Nick, you can help us out, too, because we got to get information out about this. The only way I know how to deal with this is connect everybody to each other. And that's what I'm good at. She has a tremendous email list. I have a tremendous email list. Ralph Pointer, he has a tremendous email list. And we want people to know and understand that we're here to fight. We're here to take a stand. And it's Troy Davis today, but this could be you tomorrow. See,
yes,
this
and
is
one of the
most
things,
people,
if I may say, Reverend, in the state
right
of Texas, since 2001, 11 men have been on death row, have been exonerated by DNA. Now, 11 men since 2001, and we've had courageous lawyers stand up and say no, no. And this is why when they imprisoned Lynn Stewart, she said no, no for 35 years. And when they put the blind chick in jail for the World Trade Center, she says no, no, this is an inside job. This has nothing to do with the 15 young men who were arrested. But she said it so well, she told truth so well that they put her in jail for it. So Mary Neal, Reverend Pinckney, understand that, as Reverend says, we have to fight the corporations. We have to fight this government. This government has been an enemy of the people for a long time. It is war, and they do want us dead. And we still have power. It's economic power, economic sanctions against the empire. And we also have people power in terms of, we can tell our young not to go to any war that serves this empire. And, well, thanks again. And remember Lynn, she's in jail. She's one of the people who fought for us. Remember the Honorable Cynthia McKinney. Remember all of those who fight for you. And for God's sake, remember Reverend Pinckney. And he's here with us,
so
let us support him.
That's right. And listen to this. Next week on our show, we are going to have Cynthia McKinney on our show. Next week,
yes.
5 o'clock Eastern time. And Mary, I want you to send out an email to your list. Make sure people are listening to the show. Nick, I need you to send one out. And Ralph, you do the same identical thing. And what we're going to do, when she get here on October the 8th, we're going to do something so incredible. And people are going to actually get a chance to talk to her, take pictures of her, even in a private section. So what I'm trying to do now, I'm trying to get people together to understand that we need to pull this thing together as a group. We're not individuals. And stop thinking you're individual. There's nobody bigger than nobody else. There's no big ad to lose you. We're fighting together, and we're fighting for a cause. When people need us, we need to be there for them. And I tell you that this is, I tell you, this has been a tremendous session. I only got a few minutes left. I got to give it to you, Nick. Whatever your heart desires, say it.
Well, I'll be honored to attend the event October 8th, and there are people that I know. Miss Neal mentioned her information on the internet, and I'm going to go down and get on the computer, and hopefully there's a contact number or email address And I will do everything I can from where I'm at.
Praise God. Mm. And I tell you, and what we're going to do, we're going to try to get that movie moving. That's what we're going to do for you. Because I think that was, I just got back from Hollywood, California. And I tell you, it was a tremendous week, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And I met a lot of contact. I met a lot of filmmakers. I met a lot of writers. I tell you, it was an awesome show. And I gave them something. You know, I gave them something they never had before. Somebody, a true leader, a person who stood up. Matter of fact, I went to the teacher's board and gave them something that they never heard before. I told them to recall the president of the union. I said, recall her. And then when I started chanting, everybody started chanting, recall, recall. And it was something that you never believe. But it took a person from the outside to get these people stimulated on the inside. So that's what it takes for us to do this thing. That's what we got to do. And we got to do it together. We cannot do it as individuals. Individually, they'll pick us off one at a time. And this is what they do. But together, we can stand and fight. But on that note, I got to say, we have just ran out of time. And I tell
you,
Nick, I was so happy to have you on. And I want my audience to listen, audience. I really, really appreciate you. The audience is getting bigger than ever before. And I'm getting all kind of good emails back telling them how much they appreciate the show. And we just want to stay focused because I tell them and I tell anybody, all we doing is talking. It's talk. But it's truth.
Telling
talk.
Truth. And that's very
that's
dangerous
right.
stuff
truth
in America.
Telling. That's it. They're getting used to people telling the truth. And when we say something, you can verify it. That's the thing.
Exactly.
You can find it and make sure it's the truth. If it's a lie or something that you don't think is the truth, you can call me and call me on anything I say. And you can
write it in
call me on Whirlpool. Whirlpool is the biggest blood-sucking corporation there is in the world, and they're sucking the life out of the people. But listen, we don't have no more time. All right now.
Okay.
Talk to y'all next
good night
week.
All right.
All right. Take care now. Talk to you, Nick.
Okay.
Bye now.
God bless you. God bless you all.
All right, then.
Am I right here? Can I stand on me,